We're heading to Vegas right now. Speak with Bruce Marshall of the Gold Sheet. Bruce, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, Trey. Pretty good, man.
Well, let's get your thoughts first off on the national championship game, Ohio State and Oregon.
A little bit stunned at the final scoreline, although Urban did jam one in there in the last 30 seconds to distort it a little bit more. But they were clearly the better team. We thought Ohio State had a chance, plus the point spread. Our score forecast had Oregon winning by two, but Ohio State covering the number. I also thought it would be higher scoring. Didn't think Ohio State could keep Oregon's offense in relative check like that, but just completed a really incredible last few weeks here for the Buckeyes. They were much the better team, and I didn't see this before the bowl game started.
A stat that I heard today was Ohio State had 51 4- and 5-star players, and Oregon had 30 4- and 5-star players. I didn't know that going into the game. I didn't know they had that many 4- and 5-star players. Wow.
Yeah, that's staggering. It really is.
What's the talk with Cordell Jones now? He's played three games, and the talk seems to be, I think, a little – on the crazy side, his running back has rushed for over 200 yards in those three games. So it's not like he had to win these games, or whatever. Now, he can make the throws. I get it. He's athletic. But his running back rushes for over 200 yards in three straight games, and they're saying he should go to the pros?
Well, you know, it's interesting here. In his case, he's not a normal for an eligible quarterback to come out, he's not guaranteed to get much of any playing time at Ohio State next year, and then he's got to look at, you know, am I going to be better off if I think I'm going to try to play pro football and I'm not going to play much in college next year? Am I better off in a college system or in a pro system, at least learning something? And he is one of the more unique cases that I can recall in as far as coming out, because it's not necessarily him staying in and getting more seasoning. I'm not sure he's going to play much next year.
Is JT Barrett that much better than him?
No, I don't think so. But, this is something Urban Meyer's got to try to level with him quick. And then there's Braxton Miller still in the question, too. So there's a lot of moving pieces here that involve other players. And I know Jones says, and I don't think he is ready right now, but it's not a normal situation with him. I mean, he may not play much next year at Ohio State, I would think. They'd find some way to play him because he was that good. But Barrett was awfully good, too. And then there's Miller. It's an interesting set of dynamics here with Ohio State. I'm not sure what the kid's going to do, though he says he doesn't think he's ready to come out. We've seen guys change their mind. He's only got, another 24 hours to change his mind. Then we got to figure out – he's got to make a decision then.
Well, and Urban said yesterday that you have to watch out for – and this at the press conference yesterday morning there at the Renaissance in Dallas – a player like him, he now has to watch out for those extra aunts and uncles that start to show up and and influence that decision because they want a handout. They've got their handout saying, okay, here's the deal. You sign with this guy right here. He's going to help get you in. That's the agent. He gives you a bunch of money off the top. And, oh, by the way, you give me a little bit of that.
You know, most of these guys, and I remember, even down in Hoover last July, and, you know, Mark Richt was talking about Matthew Stafford. And he said, nobody can tell me he wouldn't have been a better quarterback if he didn't wait another year. He said, however, he said, I had to advise him to go because he was going to be the top pick in the draft, and you can't get any higher than that. He said, so in that case, I thought I gave him my blessing to go. But, you know, this is a different sort of a case. This guy's not going to go first in the draft, but the fact he's not guaranteed to play much at Ohio State next year, I think he's awfully good. And he reminds me, as a little of Dante Culpepper, a little big Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit of Doug Williams. I mean, he is kind of fearless, and I like the way this kid plays. He needs more seasoning, but his question is he going to get into Ohio State? And I'm not sure he's at the point where he could transfer to another school if he's actually graduated yet. I don't think he has. So that option, some other quarterbacks might be able to do that, get a little bit more seasoning before they get to the draft. But I'm not sure it applies to this kid. It's a really unique situation.
What about the Duke Blue Devils losing two in a row to unranked opponents, first time since 08, and Coach K, three wins away from 1,000. Any reason to panic with Duke right now?
A little bit, I think, because they've just defensively they've looked suspect here the last couple of games, and that's something that we didn't see as much earlier in the season here, and certainly before these last two losses. You got to remember too, with Duke, Coach K has rarely played. He's played freshmen before, true freshmen, a lot of them, but he's never played three of them and started three of them together for as many games in a row as he's done with this current group since, what, 83? And that was way back in the Allery, Jay Billis, you know, and Dawkins and them long ago. So this is a younger team than he normally puts on the floor. And he's not, you know, Calipari is more likely to play these true freshmen than Krzyzewski. They're going through some growing pains right now, and it looks to me like these guys have kind of hit the wall the last week. They didn't look anything like them normal selves against NC State, and it happened like in the second half of that game. The first half, it wasn't so bad, and then they just kind of fell apart, and they continued against Miami last night. I think there is some reason for concern, yeah.
Bruce, thoughts on Kentucky? They played two close games, went into overtime against Ole Miss, double overtime against A&M, and then last night Missouri didn't even deserve to be on the court with them.
Yeah, you're right. You know, from our perspective out here, this is where Kentucky is in Las Vegas. They're scaring everybody with some of these huge wins. When they put their mind to it, they can obviously go out there and destroy anybody. They're the best team in the country when they show up to play. But they've had this doesn't happen every night, and there's a lot of point spread losses there. I mean, they've been put into overtime twice here in the last week. A few weeks ago against Columbia, they trailed at halftime. So, again, it's another young Calipari team, though not quite as young as you know, some of his other teams here. He's got some, you know, second and third year guys still in there, but their knockout power is so chilling, it distorts their perception. And there could still be some spots where you look against Kentucky where they're laying a ton of points. I think I'd be leery off of a flat effort, although they had two in a row against Ole Miss and A&M. It's after the poor efforts, then they usually come up really strong. But, you know, I still don't think they're a go-with team every game. They've had enough flat spots where I wouldn't want to lay these huge points every night with the Wildcats.
Yeah, let me change it to a little NFL. I just saw where Del Rio is going to be the head coach of the Raiders. You have Rex Ryan, head coach of the Bills, and it said Del Rio was recruiting to try to get Mark Trestman to be the offensive coordinator. What's going on? Have you heard anything with this Denver situation? That was it Peyton that wanted John Fox out, or, you know, it wasn't like they weren't winning their division every year. It's tough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. I think a lot of this is mostly Elway, I think,
yeah.
And Fox, and they're, again, another sort of a unique situation there. I mean, Denver really is built to win now, and, you know, it's a year-to-year thing, and certainly with Manning and them, it's a year-to-year proposition definitely now. But I think Elway just figured, you know, the way they lost that game, too, against Indy, and really they didn't play the last month of the regular season. It wasn't quite the same, and now, you know, we found out that Manning was hurting, and we kind of suspected that. But this is now, you know, 3 years in a row they've gone out, well, 2 years with a thud in the playoffs, and then
They had the Ravens season. Beat, and they, the safety, you know, whatever.
Yes,
yeah, they had the Ravens beat.
The Raheem Moore blown out against,
yes,
Jacoby Jones. That might have been Denver's best team of the,
yes,
3 year run. But
I agree.
I wasn't shocked when we heard some rumblings before the Colts game that might happen. But I'm really curious where Elway is going to go next, because, again, a lot of moving pieces there in Denver. What's Peyton going to do? Is he going to come back? Denver is not prepared to move forward at quarterback, if Mayton, I mean, they're going to have to make some quick decisions here because behind Manning, we got Brock Osweiler and Zach Dysart, and I don't think they're ready to go to war with either of those guys. So that's one of the pieces here. And does Peyton have to give his blessing to the new coach? Is he even going to come back? Lots going on in Denver right now.
Bruce, back to college football. Marcus Mariota has made it official, the announcement just coming out, that he is going to enter the NFL draft. What does that do to Oregon's offense? Do they just add another new quarterback in, the one that we saw in the game Monday night when Mariota had to go out for an injury? Or what happens with the Ducks? Can they stay up there towards the top?
It's going to be tough because Mariota, I know this year they were really holding their breath that they had Mariota in there the whole year because they thought there was a drop-off, and you know, Locke came in late in the game. If he's the guy, they're gonna drop off some at that position. There might be somebody else coming up. There usually has been. I mean, they were able in the last several years to slot guys in there. With Masoli, they went to Darren Thomas. Then all of a sudden, Mariota. Nobody knew who he was before 2012, and all of a sudden he burst upon the scene. But he set the bar awfully high there, a little bit higher than Thomas and Masoli in the years before. So I would expect that they. I know they were extremely worried this year if something happened to Mariota that this offense wasn't going to work. So I think that's an issue going forward for Oregon, that's going to be a much discussed topic in the Pac-12 in the offseason, how that's going to impact the Ducks.
Bruce, let's put a bow on college football this season. We've got about 45 seconds left. SEC, are they still the best in the land?
The West, it does not apply to the East. Certainly does not apply to the East. The West, yes, because top to bottom, there's just no weak spots. And I point this out to these Big Ten people who are coming out of the woodwork. Yeah, Ohio State, Michigan State, yeah, the top of the league is good, but the bottom isn't that good. And there's always going to be teams losing at the bottom. But I look at leagues from the bottom up. And if you put the SEC West compared to anybody, it's certainly still stronger. The East, not as much. But I think we're worried at the top. You know, who's going to be the team to beat in the SEC next year and in the West? And, you know, already they're talking maybe no top five teams in preseason polls from the West. So it is sort of a transitional period, I think, in the SEC.
All right, Bruce, as always, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks.